And joining me in the KRBS studios is Stephen Landry and Etiana Wright with the Acadiana Repertory Theater, here to talk about their upcoming production of the play Barrier Island. In fact, it's a regional premiere of this play, Barrier Island. It will open on the 30th. And before we talk specifically about Barrier Island, tell us about Acadiana Repertory Theater. How long have y'all been in the area? When did y'all start, Stephen?
We were founded in 2009 officially. Mm-hmm. 2010, we became legal, and we have been producing since fall of 2010.
And you'll have a very specific mission and vision for theater in our community. Tell us about that.
Yeah, over the course of the last couple of years, we've really found our niche to be supporting playwrights, especially up-and-coming playwrights, as they develop new works. So the vast majority of our work has been with either regional or world premieres. Not that we won't do something else, something that's a little bit more established, but our internal rule is always it must be new to Acadiana. So you won't see us repeat something that another theater company has done. So that way it keeps us fresh and it keeps the audience always wondering what we're going to do next.
And in your quest to do that, you all had this wonderful series of Reader's Theater where you read plays and you actually engaged the audience in helping to choose what you all were going to produce.
Yeah, last year we had our first New Works Festival, and it's going to be something that we do every couple, 3 years to try to get an idea, gauge an audience, what are they looking to see? And we allowed them to vote. And Barrier Island that we're talking about today was actually the winner of last year's New Works Festival.
And the whole festival was quite successful. People enjoyed it. And I think in describing it before you actually had the festival, some people might have said, you're just going to be reading the plays? How exciting can that be? But the response was really good.
The response was great. And we've had a lot of people that have said, I was able to really see in my mind what the play would look like or what I think it should look like. And that right there was us winning the battle, to have people get out and just use their imaginations to engage something that maybe they hadn't thought about before, what a set might look like, what costumes might look like. So we felt like it was a great exercise, and we're looking forward to the next time.
How many plays did you all do during that festival?
10.
10. And out of those 10, Barrier Island was the favorite.
Correct.
What were some of the responses at that time that really made you feel this could be successful as a staged play in Lafayette?
People felt like they could identify with every one of these characters. Mm-hmm. As we'll talk about in a minute, mm-hmm. Barrier takes place in Galveston.
Mm-hmm. Not so far away.
It's a hurricane town. Mm-hmm. It takes place in 2008. It's a small town with a lot of the same characters you might see in small town Louisiana surrounding hurricane season. So people really felt from start to finish, I know these people. I know what they're going through. I'm related to these same types of people. So immediately you saw audience members feel that connection.
Right. So Barrier Island's production here in Lafayette is a regional premiere.
Correct.
It has played elsewhere. Where has it been performed?
In New York, Manhattan. New York. David Stallings, who is the playwright, is also the artistic director of MT Works in Manhattan. And so they world premiered a couple, 3 years ago. And he had been trying, because he is from Galveston, he had been trying to find a way to get a production down along the Gulf Coast. And Cody Cody Daigle is the mutual connection there. And one thing led to another, and here we are. So,
all right. If you are just tuning in, my guests are Stephen Landry and Etiana Wright, here to talk about Barrier Island by David Stallings. It is their next production. It will open on the 30th, and it's a premiere, regional premiere for us, so it's quite an honor to have it performed here in Lafayette. Well, let's talk about the play and how you all have staged it. It won the festival last year. When did you all start working on this? When did you start auditioning and getting the play ready?
We had our first round of auditions in June, mm-hmm. and it was kind of cut and dry at that point as to who was going to be who. Everyone just walked in with a clear picture because we had heard it out loud before, mm-hmm, in mm-hmm. the New Works Festival, mm-hmm. of how we wanted to portray these people. So we went into the audition process with you know, kind of a really clear vision.
And you had just the right people auditioning.
Right.
Yep.
Very lucky in that regard, I think.
Mm-hmm. How many characters are in the play?
Nine. So it's nine total, including an 11-year-old boy, which is a lot of fun, I think, for us adults to see a kid who hasn't really experienced this before. He's done some school stuff, but nothing this big, to sort of see it through his eyes. And maybe we become a little less commonplace, and it's mm-hmm. less of the chore that sometimes it turns into. So it's been a lot of fun to see that develop with him and the eight others.
So, Stephen, you're directing the play.
I am.
And, Etiana, you are one of the actors
in
the play. Who do you play?
I play Laura mm-hmm. Russo. She is recently returned to Galveston after a 10-year absence where she ran away, essentially. She ran away from mm-hmm. her parents. mm-hmm. Not because they were bad people, but because she had some secrets that she didn't want them to find out about.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, in describing a play, you don't want to give it away. You don't want to give away the plot or the ending, what happens. But what is it about this play for you, Stephen, as the director? What is it about its storytelling that really resonates with you?
David has a way in his language and in the way he builds characters of immediately immersing you. From the first sentence, you feel you can smell the salt air from the Gulf. You can feel the breeze. It's just an immediate connection. And to be able to do something here, 3.5 hours away, and most of us have been to Galveston, so we can sort of identify with the landscape. But what's been so fascinating is the comparisons that we as a group have been able to make between ourselves, our families, what we do when hurricanes come, what these people are doing when Ike is coming. And it's been an interesting journey. And David just has a way of reminding people that he is a Southern boy, even mm-hmm. though he's, mm-hmm. You know, some of the phrasing, some of the sayings, you go, well, yeah, he obviously had the accent at one point in time before he left.
Right.
So it's felt very rootsy for us. Mm-hmm. It hasn't felt mm-hmm. like something that's removed from this area.
And what does he do to take it out of the realm of cliche, of commonplace characters that are what does he do to make that fresh? I mean, obviously, since Katrina, there has been a flood of books and studies and lots written about Katrina. How does he approach it?
Well, I think, first of all, it's Ike. So it's a whole different animal. Mm-hmm. You know, and one thing to mention is that September 13th is actually the five-year anniversary of Ike. So we're sort of doing this in conjunction with that observation. But what David has done is he's actually made the hurricane not that much of a character. The hurricane, we don't see it. It's coming. But the show is about what's happening before the storm in the 10 days leading up to Ike.
Kind of beating on metal sheets out offstage with howling winds.
You know, it's how does a community prepare? And even more so, how does a community deal with the storms, to be cliche, but deal with the storms that they have internally, not only as a community, as family, as friends, as individuals? How do they deal with that in addition to the concept of this impending storm that, of course, as all of us or most of us who live here and have been lifers in hurricane country think is not going to be that big of a deal until mm-hmm. it gets here? And that's mm-hmm. the whole concept, is so many of them. It's going to veer. It's not a problem. It'll be a lot of rain. My garden needs it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, so mm-hmm. it's that idea of watching people not get that concerned and be more concerned about what's going on in their lives rather than the monster that's looming out in the Gulf.
Right. And David has really made this show, like Stephen was saying, about the people. The hurricane itself is kind of a secondary character.
Mm-hmm. It's what it unleashes.
Exactly.
Within
mm-hmm. these people in their lives that really comes to the forefront.
Well, for you, as that character who's returning after 10 years, after running away from parents, what in this story is fresh to you about that? Because we think, okay, the South, you know, internal passions, child runs away, comes back. What is it about his voice in this story that makes your character really come alive? I mean, for instance, you're even named Laura. You know, of course, that brings to mind
right.
Tennessee Williams.
Right. She's definitely not that. You know, she ran away because she was pregnant, didn't want her father to know. So the 11-year-old in the play is her son. And so she returns after 10 years with this kid.
And her parents are still
alive. And with all these explanations that she's got to make and lies that she has to tell to try to make herself into someone that she's really not. Mm-hmm. And she's not the only one doing it. Everyone's doing
in
it.
This community.
But all of the skeletons come out of the closet in the end.
So are all of these characters related somehow other than just being in the same town? Are they connected by...
A couple of them are related. There's a character named Cheryl, and she's got her dad is a cast member. And then there's a married couple, Susie and Nate. And then there's Laura and her son. But most of the people that you hear them talk about as their relatives are not actual characters in this show. So it's just, you know, they talk about them in kind of abstract ways.
So is it a series of vignettes, or is there actually a cohesive story leading up to...
No, there's a cohesive story. It all takes place pretty much in Nate and Susie, the married couple, their bar. Mm-hmm. They own a locals dive bar. Mm-hmm. And
very much a dive bar.
Yeah, very much a dive bar. And we've theorized that it's probably the same 10 people that come in and out of that bar for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. It's not there for them to make money. It's there because these are their friends, and they would rather have them there than at their house.
The TV doesn't even point out at the tables. It's pointed inside the bar. The bartender is pretty much the only person that is watching the television in the bar.
Okay, who's seeing the news and weathercast.
Exactly, yeah. And they talk about that, you know, what is on the weather and which weather girl they prefer to see. Mm-hmm. And they're interesting people.
Well, because this hurricane is coming, are more people kind of dropping into the bar than usual? Or are all of these different characters finding themselves passing through?
It's where they are on a daily basis anyway.
Okay.
Storm or no.
They're there.
And you know, towards the end of the show, we see one of the characters coming in when everyone else is busy boarding up. He comes in to have his beer because that's what he does every day at the same time. You know, so it's the meeting place. It's the gathering spot. You know, it's the watering hole. And if anyone, as I'm sure some of our listeners might have gone to those sorts of places, as I have, as Etiana has, you know, it's where it's their Cheers, it's their Blue Moon, it's their
Pete's.
Mm-hmm. It's that place where you go where you feel comfortable that you can let your hair down and relax.
Right, and get information about the rest of the community
as
well.
Definitely.
Filtered through other people.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about David Stallings' Barrier Island. It's being produced by Acadiana Repertory Theater. My guest, Stephen Landry, is directing the play. Etiana is playing one of the characters in Barrier Island. Is there any symbolism about the title? Is there...
Yeah. I mean, in addition to the seawall, in addition to the fact that Galveston is indeed a barrier island, so much of this show is about the walls that people put up and what it takes to either bring them down, if that's possible, or we see people give up and try, you know, they've tried their hardest to scale the wall. They can't do it. They can't get around the barrier. So it certainly is about a lot more than just the fact that Galveston happens to be a slit of land protecting the Texas coast.
Right. Well, we really haven't addressed that. Is this a comedy? Is there humor in it?
There's definitely some humor. There's certainly some humor.
Mm-hmm. But you would not say it's a romance comedy.
There's some romance, too.
Okay.
There's a little bit of
hard
everything.
To characterize,
you know, it certainly is. Now, there's obviously some drama, too. There always is whenever you're prepping for a hurricane. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, they have community members that have been missing for years, either serving in the war or running from their troubles, come back to town.
Right.
There's always going to be a little bit of drama there, but there's certainly some humor.
Now, the play is taking place in a very intense theater 810, only about 50 seats, and the way it's set up, how does that suit the play?
Perfectly. I mean, it's exactly what it needs to be. We moved into the theater on Saturday and got together yesterday to adjust some of the blocking, and I know a couple of my cast members were a little shocked when some of the scenes that don't take place in the bar but just in other locations that are now blocked within about, you know, 5 to 6 inches from the front row audience member. It's part of the charm of the space.
It's like being in a bar.
It is. It. I mean, I don't think that there's going to be a single audience member who doesn't feel like they're sitting in Nate and Susie's bar. And so,
which is where you want to be. You want to be in the bar with them. Mm-hmm. You want Nate to bring you a bud. You know, you want to be with these people. They're people you know. They're your neighbors.
You want to hear
they're
those
your coworkers.
Stories.
Yeah, mm-hmm. of course. Mm-hmm.
So it's Theater 810, you know, suits it, and not only because of how intimate it is, but just the whole environment. I mean, the brick walls, the sort of the exposed piping, it's absolutely perfect for what we're doing. And, mm-hmm. and at the same time, we have to thank Abbey Players. We're borrowing some bars from Abbey Players to use as part of our set. So this has really been a it's been a nice, you know, ecumenical experience mm-hmm. For the three theaters to work together in that sort of way. So it's great. We're excited and the set is slowly developing and we'll be ready to go by
for
Friday.
Opening night on the 30th. Etiana is playing Laura. Who are the other cast members?
So Kevin Miller, who is one of our art company members, is playing Nate. Chanelade Qualls, who is one of our company members, is playing Susie. Larry Blunt, who is one of our company members, is playing Trey. And that's one of the returnees that's been away for a little while. Paul David, who is new to the art stage, is playing Bob. Aaron Spizak, who's a new group member, is playing Cheryl. Nicholas Begno is playing Etiana's son. My God, Daniel, that's what it is. You see, there's so many names. And then Michael Cato, who's one of our original company members, is playing Carl. And Colette Wild is playing Steph. So the fact that I got all their names out, considering I've been calling them by their character name for the last month and a half, is absolutely amazing.
Now, this play, Barrier Island, is part of a trilogy, is it not?
Yes.
Part of three plays?
Yeah.
Which brings to mind, for some people who may have had the pleasure of seeing any of John Biguenet's plays, one was produced here in Lafayette, right. One in Baton Rouge, and one in New Orleans, actually.
Right.
It's kind of an interesting collaboration
right.
of theater
right.
communities.
Right.
Have you seen or read the other plays?
I have not. I know a little bit about the other mm-hmm. two mm-hmm. And certainly won't say much
okay.
because they give away – But the second play has to do with the immediate aftermath mm-hmm. of Ike, and then it goes on from there. But it is called the Galveston Cycle,
mm-hmm.
And you know, it's certainly been, as we've gone through this process, not only on our minds because we're curious what happens to these people, but it's certainly been something that we've sort of gone, well, you know, let's see how this is received, and we might talk to David, who has been generous and lovely throughout this whole process.
So helpful when you have access to a playwright
yeah. Yeah.
to
who's
ask
willing
who's
to
willing
engage.
To who says, yeah, sure, I'll accept your friend request on Facebook and respond to your messages whenever you have a question about your character. You know, that is just you can't buy it. It's just absolutely invaluable.
Yeah. And we encourage, you know, that's one of the reasons we love to do theater how we do. And we encourage any theater. Take a chance and do a new work just for that experience. The Oath, our last show, Jackie Goldfinger. There's something about getting flowers from the playwright the night you open that is just sort of an amazing thing. Working with Cody, working with Chelsea Marcantel from our first. So there's – we encourage, you know, any theater that's willing to. Take that chance, and we certainly plan on continuing.
Well, what has been his response to your – production, your questions?
Whatever we needed. Whatever we needed. He sent me a message today lamenting that he couldn't be here, but his schedule has just picked up. And, mm-hmm. and you know, we'll post a picture and he or his partner, Tony O, will like it or comment. And it's just mm-hmm. – you sit there for a second and go, well, you know, Neil Simon never commented when I directed his show. I don't know why, but no, it's a very life-giving experience mm-hmm. for me as artistic director, but directing the show for the cast members to see the playwright really get excited. I mean, he's really, really
so he's
excited.
He's not protective or controlling of what you're
doing. Not
at all.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. he's just thrilled that it's happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have this vision, I think, of playwrights, the Noel Cowards and the Neil Simons of this world that might be larger than life. Well, they want their work done. That's thrilling.
And they weren't always larger than life. They had to start somewhere. And we're glad to be able to be that start somewhere for a lot of people.
Well, what kinds of questions did you have for him? Can you think of something that was particularly helpful that he was able to help you all with the story?
Well, it's the tone was my first question for him, because that's always hard for you know, a company that has nothing to compare it to. All I've seen from the first production is a picture here and there, but nothing you know, that would let me know what direction. Because, you know, these people could be caricatures, mm-hmm. which we obviously mm-hmm. would not allow them to be. But you know, so that was my first question. You know, what is the tone of this show? What's the pacing? What's, you know, and he, of course, was – it laid it out how, but again, it was never, you have to do it this way.
It wasn't the point of saying Laura is like this and she must be played in this manner.
Not at all.
No. And it's funny. You can always, I find, sometimes tell a playwright by how they describe their characters. And David's character descriptions are 3 to 4 words long. You know, it's just Carl, for example, the character description is jittery and odd. And that's it. And that's it. And it was up to Michael to take it from there. And he's done wonderful. And they all have.
What was his description of you?
I think cold was in there, but also has hidden warmth. So you have to find that balance.
Mm-hmm,
How do you balance that cold
and keeping
everyone at arm's length? But you have to have that hidden warmth because you've got your son there mm-hmm. who you love and he's your everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting trying to find the balance without going too far either way.
Right. How long have you been acting, Etienne?
I auditioned for my first play whenever I was 3. I was a lamb. I wore a pillowcase stuffed with cotton. It was a lovely experience.
Very different tone
yes,
than this play.
I had a very big animal theme going for a while. I was like a grasshopper and a butterfly, a lamb, lots of insects. I don't know.
You're going up the great chain
right,
of being.
Right, exactly. So now I finally get to be a human. Mm-hmm. It's a joyful experience.
Well, it sounds like theater is a passion of yours.
Certainly, certainly. Yes. I've done it all my life. I grew up at Abbey Play. We lived in Texas for a while whenever I was a kid. We did some theater there, and it was my major in college at Northwestern State up in Natchitoches, and it's just part of life for me at this point.
Well, obviously you've been working with Acadiana Repertory Theater and part of this mission of presenting current plays and plays by living playwrights. And I mean, is that something that you've played everything from a lamb to Laura in this play. But is that a kind of theater that you really value and see yourself working in for a long time?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. It's always it's really refreshing to be able to invent a character that you don't have any preconceived notions of and you just get to make it happen. It's difficult and it's challenging.
A character hasn't been played for 200 years.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's also – it takes some pressure off that you're not living up to an audience member's expectation and you get to be fresh to them as well. So it's not just refreshing during the rehearsal process and as you do your character study, but while you're on stage having the audience not know at all what's coming next because they've never seen it before either. It's really just a wonderful experience to be able to do new works consistently and often. It's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And again, I want to let you know that we are talking with members of the Acadiana Repertory Theater, part of whose mission is to bring new works to our community. Stephen Landry is directing the play Barrier Island by David Stallings. Etienne Wright is acting in the play. It does open on Friday at Theater 810. How do people get tickets for it, Stephen?
So they can visit our website, acadianarep.org, and there is a buy tickets here, and it'll take you to our Eventbrite page.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also call Theater 810, and it's 480172, and Joseph or Walter will be happy to take down your reservations. And then, you know, you can always take the chance at the door, but we're hoping
well,
that
pre-sales.
Well,
that's always a chance at Theater 810 because, what, 50 seats?
50 seats-ish. And it certainly is a chance. And you know, get there early. Visit Carpe Diem next door. You can sit and relax and have coffee or gelato. But it's always better to be put on that waiting list than be left out in the cold.
Okay.
So we have 2 weekends, though, so 6 shows.
Okay. So the website or call the theater, it's Theater 810. It opens on Friday the 30th. And how many performances are there?
6.
6 performances. Mm-hmm. So that's not many either. So it really should get your tickets. Don't wait. It's you know, I think we're kind of used to that in Lafayette. You sort of wait around and get to hear about it.
You know, I think it's a epidemic in Lafayette. People wait to buy tickets. They don't RSVP. It's always this laissez-faire kind of
attitude.
Right.
But I think Theater 810 is training them to do something a little different.
I would certainly hope that they are.
You just might not get in if you don't get that ticket. So opens on the 30th, 6 performances only. More information, you can stop by the website. That is the Acadiana Repertory Theater, Barrier Island, a regional premiere. What is y'all's next production, or has that not been revealed yet?
It's just been decided on. Mm-hmm. And what's really funny is Atiana doesn't even know there's been a change because this was decided on this morning. It's called In the Bones, Cody Daigle. It's a Cody Daigle world premiere. It's a bit of a change. We were doing a different Cody Daigle, but the playwright and I have had some discussions about casting, and we feel like this is a better opportunity, and it's a little bit more timely. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. So that'll be in November, first two weekends of November.
Well, we'll look forward to having y'all back to talk about that play.
Absolutely,
well.
And thank you, Judith, for always helping us out, you and KRVS.
Our pleasure. Barrier Island opening this Friday the 30th at Theater 810.